Listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes now to uncover the world's darkest truths. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
This is absolutely incredible. I walk in this morning. I've already played a round of golf. I shot a 44 at Moon. That's a low-key brag, although for most people that wouldn't be a brag. And then I walk in, and there's Tyler Kennedy, Stanley Cup champion. Every once in a while, you have to pinch yourself around here when you live in this world. And, oh, yeah, I'm doing radio with Tyler Kennedy today. I used to walk in the Penguins locker room, and there was quiet, then quiet Tyler Kennedy, barely saying a word. Hard to tell if he liked the media, if he was paranoid, what was going on. He never talked, and now that's all he does is talk. This is unbelievable, Tyler. It really is. We've come full circle. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm starting. I'm back on the golf course. I'm feeling good. Swing's getting through the ball.
Me too.
I feel good.
Yeah.
I played Tuesday, Wednesday. Probably go out for chip and putt tonight. And then I play Saturday up in Nemecolon. Let's go.
Wow. We got to get back out there.
I know.
One day we'll get limits out there, maybe.
City Limits, you good at golf or are you just another player?
I'm just another player. I'm no good. I need to get back to the range where I usually go, or at least I would go. Cool Springs is being renovated right now. They're working on everything.
Is it still going to be a driving range?
I don't know.
What's going on there?
I pulled up there
a few weeks ago and it's golf season. What's happening here?
No, it's been under construction all summer.
Hmm.
And that's where I would go.
How are you, Tyler?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great.
It's good
to see you. I actually golfed with someone that you golf with.
The Shenderovich twins.
Yeah.
They never took a lesson. And what did they learn off YouTube? They're unbelievable.
Well, that's just playing a lot. Those guys play a lot.
I know they do.
They beat me and one of my buddies, Mike. We just did not play well, and they come out of the gate so solid. They're just so consistent.
They're machines. And they're like the old Russian Red Army hockey team. They're the same every day.
Yeah.
Right? They're like machines.
Every time, yeah. But they got up 5. We came back in the back 9. But me and Mike, we didn't do well. We couldn't. You know, once someone gets up 3 holes on you, it's hard to fight back and
start to
squeeze it a bit.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm trying to get them back out because I want a piece of them. If you guys are listening, the twins, the Shenderovich twins, we want a piece.
I'd love to play them,
yeah.
Although I did play with them, and it was rough. They were birdieing holes left and right. I forget which guy is which all the time, but one of them was birdieing holes.
Well, you know what?
The lefty. Who's the lefty? Al?
Al, I think.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
That's what the way I am.
They're entertaining.
They're interchangeable and entertaining.
Yeah, they're entertaining to play with. They were fun. They had a lot of jokes. You know, obviously they run, you know, a big law firm, but... Yeah, I hate losing. I hate losing, even to them. You know, I already told Mike, the guy I was playing with, hey, we need a piece of them. I want to play them again.
Did they gloat afterward, or were they good sports? They were good sports with me.
They were good sports about it.
Yeah. No shots taken?
No shots taken, but I'm just frustrated because I didn't play well, and my partner needed me to play well, and I just...
I know. You let the ball club down. It hurts. I know. Yeah.
I know, but I'm starting to feel better. I'm starting to get my drive around because those guys play off the whites.
I know. Well, you've been injured.
I know.
Good explanation, excuse.
That's where we should have blew. That's where you have to take your advantage, right? When someone gives you an advantage to play by the whites and you're a long ball guy.
Yeah.
Me and Mike should have beat them right there, but.
Well, maybe next time. Meanwhile, when I came in, after seeing you, we both walked in. There's Adam and there's Doran. And then the conversation turned. You guys were talking about outdoor hockey, maybe Michigan State, Penn State this year at Beaver Stadium, which would mean Gavin McKenna. That would be incredible, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I that would be lights out. And I think that would be one of the biggest venues ever to play an outdoor game. Plus with just the whiteout, right? Like, that would be so cool. My thing with him is, like, obviously I've heard that with his school package and the money he's getting from NIL,
yeah,
it's $1 million. A million bucks to go play college. That's insane. That's why you're going to see guys staying back at college instead of going to the NHL. Because what's the league minimum at the NHL level? I think it's like 600, 625.
Can you look that up, limits? You're the beat writer.
It's got to be under that. Like, and the only thing I think going to Penn State, obviously they have everything going on. The great rink, their practice facility, everything is phenomenal. Top class.
The Pagulas run that show, right?
Phenomenal. Great building.
But when I think of him, he comes from a small town in Western Canada.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe 60, 70,000 where he played.
Yeah.
I don't think he's getting encouraged to go out. I don't think girls are sliding into his DMs. I think he's pretty focused on hockey. You go to Penn State.
What a take.
There's a lot of distraction there. No?
Limits, you I know think, what this is like.
No, I will not deny that.
With everybody sliding
yes.
into your DMs,
I've been up there plenty of times. I'll be up there Saturday. There's a lot of distractions.
Exactly. You think everyone knows how much he's making as a hockey player. Every girl on campus that likes hockey is going to want to see what this guy's about. Is he going to be able to keep his head straight and know he wants to get to the NHL, or is he going to have a little bit of fun? Because it's tough at that age.
What a first shift for Tyler Kennedy in this game, huh?
You Limits? Guys don't think of that. You guys don't.
No, I wasn't thinking of that.
But wouldn't you like?
It's
again,
a different ball game for him.
You play in the Western Hockey League. You go, yeah, you have fun, but there's not much going on. You're solely focused.
Now you're immersed in college nightlife for sure. I don't know what kind of kid he is. I mean,
he's probably pretty focused. But I would think.
But still, you still want to go out and have some fun.
Yeah, and the fun in Penn State is a little bit different than somewhere in Western Canada, wherever he played.
Then, you know, than Kamloops, like, it's a little different out there.
It's definitely a little different. You know,
Saskatoon.
Oh, and
have you been to Saskatoon?
Yes, I have.
The Noon Balloon to Saskatoon. Oh, yeah, where is it, and what is it, and what happens in Saskatoon?
Not much. Cold.
Yeah,
you know, flat.
It's just like a sheet of ice.
A sheet of ice.
Yeah, a glacier.
Like, when we went out there, it was. Like I say, when you play in Canada, you are like a celebrity. Like you are like the Brad Pitt of LA. You are the Kardashians of LA. You know what I mean? You're so well known because that's like the only sport. You're a big celebrity in Canada. When I went to San Jose, I could have walked down the street naked and no one even knew who I was. Right? Like that's the difference between playing in certain cities.
Yeah.
But
where were you a star? Where'd you play in Canada again?
I never played in Canada.
I mean, in growing up.
Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. But I played in the OHL too. Yeah. I played in my hometown. And
Sault Ste. Marie is Ronnie Francis territory,
Ronnie Francis,
right?
Yeah. Trevor Daly, Jeff Carter. Listen to my captains. My first year, I had Trevor Daly as a captain. Jeff Carter was on the team. Once Trevor got made the NHL, then Jeff Carter was my captain.
Jeff Carter, he must have been older than Ron Cook in that league. How was he on your team?
He's only a year older than me.
What?
Yeah, Jeff Carter, he just turned 40.
Oh, yeah,
40.
I guess that does make sense now that I think of it.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
He made the NHL and he's 18. Yeah. And then I became captain the next year, but like I had such great guidance in the OHL. And I think playing in my hometown helped me so much because I couldn't be chasing or couldn't have too much fun because I had to deal with obviously the coaching staff, but I also had to deal with my parents coming home at night. They're asking too many questions, so I just stayed at home.
Probably a good thing. Do you think the Penguins can finagle their way into McKenna the way they did Mario and Sid and Yager and Malk? I mean, the way they've come up with guys in a variety of ways, granted, whether it's intentionally losing games or taking a chance on a guy, you know, that nobody else thinks is going to come over from the Czech Republic, whatever it might. Same with Malkin. Right. I mean, my God, they practically kidnapped the guy to get him over here in Finland.
Were you guys
aware of everything that was going on with Malkin when it was going on? That they were smuggling him through Finland or wherever it was?
That's crazy. Like, we had no idea. We just thought, oh, like, he just snuck out of there. But you see where he went to, like, you know, Moscow to Finland. He was there for 2 weeks. He went to New York, hung out there, and then he came to Pittsburgh.
Did he ever tell you the stories?
No, he never
probably
did.
Probably best as well.
I don't know how I'd bring that up. And there's just, hey, Gino, like, how'd you smuggle into the U.S.? Like, I don't know.
I thought there might be some good ones there.
But most underrated player to ever play hockey, Evgeny Malkin.
I'm with you there.
Yeah, what a career. Let's hope he still has a little. I think he still has a little bit of gas in the tank. I think Gino with a little chip on his shoulder, he's going to want to go out the right way. So I expect him to have a pretty good year.
Yeah.
But if the Penguins aren't at 500 a month into the year,
go for McKenna. What have you heard about McKenna?
100%. I think they're probably going to maybe start trading some of those stars away.
Give yourself the best chance. What have you heard about him as a hockey player and as a kid?
Who, McKenna?
Yeah.
Like, obsessed with hockey, works hard. The next, you know, McDavid, Crosby, but just unbelievably talented. He has it, how hockey players say it, he has the puck on a string. You know, it never leaves his blade. He's so good at corralling passes. He's so good at making moves and not losing the puck. And his vision. He's got eyes in the back of his head. So he's the next big thing. And whatever team gets him, that's the guy you build your organization around.
Man.
Can it be Penguins? I would hope so.
Wouldn't
that be something? 21 years between.
Find a way.
Right? 21 years between Lemieux and Crosby. If we get him next year, that'd be 21 years too.
Perfect. That's the way the Penguins do it, man. That's the way they continue to save the franchise, is find that face of it, the savior, really. They find saviors is what they do. Limits, we should take a field trip to Beaver Stadium, your old stomping grounds, if there is an out. Well, we should do it anyway to see him play. Tyler, are you driving? Can we all go as a show? Maybe even take Bob?
Bus.
Maybe take Bob if he's ever here.
We'll set up shop right there. Maybe we'll give him a Penguin jersey.
Ooh.
We could recruit him.
Bob can fly us out on his private jet.
Bob could recruit McKenna at Penn State.
I think we should go.
Like, Bob and Tyler.
Legitimately. I know we do a lot of this. We should do this. We should do this. We should actually go.
Let's do this, Tyler.
Like,
there's a nice golf course up there as well.
Really?
I don't know if it's playable in December, but we could do it.
You never know in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. I think we're going to do that. That brings us to something else we talked about before the show, was the outdoor game you played in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. What a scene that was. It was so unexpected how iconic that game became. It was like a light snow falling. I got over there, I think the game time was noon or 1 or something, and I got over there real early, and it was, having been a Bills season ticket holder in my youth, wow. It was a football scene. Imagine when you guys pulled up in the morning, people were already partying, right?
Oh, yeah. We were driving through, like, the tailgaters, and you never know. Like, that was my first time seeing, like, a Buffalo Bills, Buffalo Mafia craziness. And we drew probably through a mile of people just barbecuing sausages in the morning and drinking and throwing cornhole, like all the craziness. And once you got in there, we're like, wow, maybe, like, for me, how I thought, I was like, this is a lot bigger than playing anywhere else.
Yeah.
This is such a huge game. Because you never know, we never knew how that was going to play out, because that was the first one in the U.S.
Right.
You know, that was the first one they started. But driving through, I was like, oh, my God, I should have had my whole family. Like, my uncle and my brother came down, and they said it was just a parking lot was bananas.
I couldn't believe it.
And then how it all kind of came, and how we won with Sid and the snow coming down.
Did you score in that game?
No, I did not.
Point? Colby scored. Now that I remember it.
Yeah, I didn't get a point.
Did you like it? Was it fun?
I love playing outside. I think that just makes you feel warm inside as a hockey player. You step on that ice, the ice is louder. It's a little bit crunchier. You know, it's a little harder, so you really hear cutting into the ice. But just being out there brings back so many memories of playing with your boys back home, playing with your family. Like, that kind of stuff makes you want to stay in the NHL and do whatever it takes.
The ice was horrible that day, though, right? But it didn't matter, I guess.
It actually helped me because the ice was so bad.
In what way?
Some other guys have probably affected them, but it helped me. Yeah, once it started snowing, you know, you're just starting to push the puck, play that simple game. And that's why, like, when you see Sid, how he scored, like, there was probably like a half a pound of snow on his blade, and to be able to make that quick little move.
Yeah.
You know, Sid's got that so dialed in, where he goes backhand, forehand, and he just uses that, like, quick twitch of his wrist, And as he does it, he uses that like straight pancake flipper he has, and he just beats the goalie with speed. It's unbelievable.
Poor Ryan Miller. Two of the most memorable goals of this century was Sid against Ryan Miller.
Yep.
The golden goal and
the
that
golden
one.
Goal. He must hate Sid, eh?
I would if I were him.
Like, he's on the opposite side of the biggest goals of maybe Sid's career. You know, it's like, who's a guy that Mario twisted inside out when he had that famous
Neil
goal?
Wilkinson is on the statue. He's won.
Imagine that. Imagine being that guy.
No, it's Rich Pilon. It's not Pilon. It's not the North Stars. It was the Islanders. I think Rich Pilon's on the statue. Wilkinson should be on the statue.
Yeah. Imagine going to a game with your grandkids and they're like, oh, where are you? Oh, I'm the one like Mario's behind me and I'm on my back or I'm on my one knee because he just dangled me.
It's Pilon's ass is in the statue. That's all it is. Imagine him walking up there with his kids. Where are you, Dad? Oh, that's me right there. I'll never forget when that thing got unveiled.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an incredible statue in a way, but it takes some getting used to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sid's got to have a statue, right?
Come on. Yeah. What should the Sid statue be?
It's got to be him probably raising the cup. He's done it three times, and he's not done yet, hopefully.
Yeah, you're right.
It's got to be that. Like, that's a pretty...
Yes, it should be Sid raising the cup.
Yeah.
The only other thing I'm thinking about is that game in Philly in his rookie year when Darian Hatcher broke his teeth. And then he scored. Was it in overtime, I think?
Yeah.
You guys came back, and then the look on his face with the broken teeth.
Yeah.
After he scored, that would be a good statue. But you're right. Raising the cup is the one.
Like, Matt, I always talk about this. Imagine Sid's trophy room. Like, his trophy room is probably.
Or rooms.
He might have the most decorative trophy room ever. No?
I can't imagine anybody with more.
Right? Like, he's done it all. Like,
Scotty Bowman must need two houses for his Stanley Cups. But yeah. Limits, do you have a trophy room from your wiffle ball career?
I have a trophy little corner, but not a room, no.
Have you heard about Limits' wiffle ball exploits, Tyler?
Yes, I have.
Won a title.
I did. And I have a big championship trophy, Tyler. It's about this big, like, legitimately. It's like a two-and-a-half-foot trophy.
It's bigger than Chris Ferraro. You guys,
fastball? Like fast?
Oh, yeah. Wow. So we actually measured it. And from where we're standing, 38 feet away, our buddy was taking videos and submitted it somewhere. It's the equivalent of hitting a 90-mile-an-hour fastball in the major leagues.
Okay, Austin, you might be telling a lie.
Come on. 90 miles an hour.
That's what I was told. That's what I was told. That's what I was told.
In wiffle ball?
There was a guy that was clocked at the national tournament last year for throwing 103 miles an hour. I'm not kidding. Jeez. I'm not kidding.
Do you believe this?
I wish I was, but I'm not.
Have you heard about Malzy? Do you know Malzy?
Yeah.
Here we go again with the Malzy disease thing.
No.
No,
I was not going there. I was going back to Penn State. Have you heard about Malzy claiming he made 9 straight 3-pointers in a pickup game on 9 trips, straight trips down the court? It's the tallest tale ever told at the Fan, Tyler.
There's no video, no nothing.
Right. Until now, when we have this guy telling us that there was somebody who threw a 103-mile-an-hour wiffle ball pitch.
There's a video of it online. I'll try to find it. The guy is from Indianapolis. He played for the team that won the national championship this past year.
Tyler, you buying it?
No.
I'll show you the video, Tyler. I'll send it to you.
I don't know how you... The ball's too light to throw it that hard.
That's what I thought until I saw the video.
What's the guy built like?
Yeah.
He's a former Division II baseball player that now pitches in wiffle ball.
How far from home to the pitching
mound? I think it's 42, like 46 feet, maybe.
Yeah.
So obviously it's not 60 feet, 6 inches where you're throwing that fast, but from 40 feet.
Did you play wiffle ball as a kid, or was it hockey every single day?
It was hockey.
Nothing else?
You know what? When I was growing up, I played a little soccer, but soccer was like at the worst.
Obsessed with true crime, cults, or conspiracy theories? Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes is a weekly podcast from Crime House and Pave Studios that dives into the darkest corners of human behavior. Every Wednesday, we uncover the true stories behind the world's most shocking crimes, deadly ideologies, and secret plots. Follow and listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
First time, so we had a cottage. My parents were like, we ain't coming in on a Saturday to play soccer. That I was pretty good at soccer because I just was competitive. But I ended up getting out of soccer. All I did was play hockey. And back in the day, nothing always had to be organized. I played basketball. I played everything. It just was just pickup stuff with your buddies. You know, yeah. Nothing was organized except hockey. But again, hockey, once September hit, like it was full-time hockey.
And some of it was pond hockey or backdoor hockey?
Yeah, I always had a rink.
Street
in
hockey?
Backyard. I played like, I'd go in my garage and I'd shoot on my dad with like a ball. That was like probably the funnest thing I can do when I was growing up. And then once winter hit, my dad always had an outdoor rink. It was like,
wow,
training on the outdoor rink, playing. It's, you know, for kids, everyone's like, so many kids, doesn't matter what the sport is, everyone's so skilled out now, you know, like they teach so much and there's so much going on with how development's going. And it's like, when I think of like what made me a better hockey player and what I've seen in the NHL, it was like playing small area games, playing one-on-ones, playing in a, when you take space away,
yeah,
that's how you learn the game.
Right. Same in basketball, really.
What's that?
Same in basketball. Yeah. You learn so much just by playing pickup and playing one-on-one and playing, you know, how to get space for a shot, all that stuff.
Do you remember Pavel Datsyuk?
Oh, yeah.
So there was like, I was like, you could never take the puck away. Like him and Sid were like, you know, once they had you on your backside or straight ahead, like they're just so shifty. But when we used to play them all the time, and I'd always go out before our practice before us on the road, that Datsyuk would play one-on-one for 25 minutes after practice every day. Mm. And everyone's like, you're going to wear out. And they're like, why are you doing this? And he goes, because one, I know how hard my teammates are going to go against me. And two, there's nothing better than learning how to beat someone one-on-one and learning how to use your body, learning how to manipulate where you're going. And it all comes from that small space, that one-on-one. And I was like, wow. Like, and he goes, yeah, once I get in the game, I got so many more options, but I'm so confident beating a guy one-on-one because that's all I do every day. And I was like, wow, that's like unbelievable. So I started actually doing some of the one-on-ones after practice and that. And I was like, wow, he really has something going on here. Something that like is very thought out, you know?
You mentioned—
you a big reader?
Not anymore, but I used to be.
You ever read The Talent Code?
No.
It's a great book on like development and like why guys are so good from Canada, from different areas.
Bielsma used to talk about that book, I remember.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned Malkin. Datsyuk is another guy who I think is underrated in history. Don't you? Him and Zetterberg.
Oh, yeah. I just don't think they were around long enough, or they didn't hit the spotlight for long enough. You know, when they were in the spotlight, they were unbelievable, but what I think they got lost. When you go out west, you kind of lose like your jam of publicity. You know what I mean? Like, I think if Sid would have played in Anaheim, his name wouldn't have been as big, you know, just because there's so many other things going on. You know, other sports are bigger than hockey out there. But in the east, it's, you know, hockey's huge.
We used to play street hockey in Buffalo, 2-on-2 league. I used to play goalie with a painted mask.
Yeah.
A baseball glove is my catching glove, a piece of styrofoam for the blocker, and then the best, not goalie pads, shin pads. So you could fly out there and just like scrape along the cement and make saves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Me and Tom Cusimano were a team, and we beat Ray Staff and Rich Cole in the final when we pulled our goalie. Me.
We have any video evidence of this? Any limits?
I wish. I'd like to see that goalie mask.
Is this the masks? We used to paint masks. Remember those days, Tyler? You had guys like Mike Palmateer and Chico Resch and Jerry Cheevers, a little before your time, probably. Yeah, but they would paint their masks.
Yeah, that's now you see some of the masks now. They're like so detailed. Like,
I know.
That's one thing about being a goalie. What's really cool is you get to keep your helmet after, right? So you see a guy that's played a long time, like a Marc-Andre Fleury, like in his office, he probably has 25 masks, you know, 20 masks from every special occasion, all that stuff. Like, that's cool art in your house, you know.
You ever visited him in Canada?
No. Nope.
Been to his house?
No.
Who was the best hockey house you've ever been to?
Joe Thornton.
Tell me about it.
So Joe Thornton lives in San Jose, but San Jose is surrounded by mountains. So his house is on the top of a mountain, and you have to drive above the clouds. It's unreal.
Above the clouds?
Like, the clouds,
you can
like,
get, take a plane there and just
right?
get dropped off.
Because we're near the ocean, so the clouds are low. But you go up this hill. It probably takes you 15, 20 minutes to drive up this hill. Then you go to his house, and his house is like, think of Restoration Hardware on steroids. Like, unbelievable. And he's got an infinity pool, a hot tub.
What does an infinity pool mean again?
Like, you don't see the end. It looks like it's going off. Like,
oh,
there's
yeah.
no end to it.
You they know have what one mean? Of those like at Nemacolin, like, I think.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Like, the water goes right up to the edge of the pool, you know?
Yeah.
And his whole house slides open. Like, you open these huge doors, and his whole side of his house opens up to the pool. And it is unbelievable, because when you look down on a clear day, you see the whole San Jose. When it's windy and cloudy, you're like above, you actually see you're on top of the clouds.
Limits, we should go to Joe Thornton's house. You think he still lives there?
Yeah, he still lives there. It was like, it's not a huge house, but it's so, so sick.
Wow.
Like, just, again, Restoration Hardware on steroids. Think of it, you're looking up at a house, and the whole house opens with these huge windows, and then you just see an infinity pool with like all this fake grass. And
maybe we can get him on the air.
He is.
We were just talking about Penguins. You could get on the air, former Penguins. You could get some of your other teammates.
Yeah, that would be
gigantic. He got drafted in Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
Joe Thornton.
He was one of the very. He was another very interesting guy. That when I went from Pittsburgh to San Jose, that was probably the biggest adjustment. I went from Sidney Crosby to Joe Thornton, and they both unbelievable care for the game and want to be the best, but Sid took it serious. Like, Sid was like dialed in, everything was dialed in. Like, he was at the rink, it was time to get to work and be better than everyone else. Jumbo was like always laughing, like just on the ice, he just like, it wasn't, I'm not saying it wasn't as serious, but he didn't. It was just different how he took the game. You know, like, it was a lot less serious, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, he just, like, he'd be laughing during practice. He'd be, like, walking around the room naked. Like, he was just different, you know? Like, he was, but, like, for vision and being able to go back door and pass you the puck without anyone touching and just tap it in. Like, think of the guys, like, that played with those kind of guys, like Crosby, Joe Thornton, that made so much money, you know, like,
oh yeah,
Pascal Dupuis, Kunitz, like, unbelievable. Like, you have to be extremely talented to play with those guys, because you got to be able to put the puck in the back of the net and play off those guys, which is very hard. Jonathan Chichu, who played with Joe Thornton, I think he put up 50 goals, and they don't even know who he was.
Right.
He signed this huge contract. He went somewhere else. I don't even think he scored ever again, you know?
Same with Mario early in his career.
Oh, like,
he had guys playing with him who would score 40 goals that nobody ever heard of again. It's incredible.
Obsessed with true crime cults or conspiracy theories? Conspiracy Theories, Cults and Crimes is a weekly podcast from Crime House and Pave Studios that dives into the darkest corners of human behavior. Every Wednesday, we uncover the true stories behind the world's most shocking crimes, deadly ideologies, and secret plots. Follow and listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Telling some tales here with Tyler Kennedy.
You should tell that one.
This is incredible. This whole thing today. Do you play fantasy football?
No.
What? I had you pegged for sure as a fantasy football guy.
I'm telling you,
do you want to? Do you follow the NFL?
I follow the Steelers. I don't follow everyone in the NFL. I know the big teams, but I don't know everyone.
Limits here had a draft just last night. Took Where? Justin Jefferson, 5th overall.
I did,
you?
Yes, even though I don't like their quarterback.
Who would you take first overall right now?
The player that was taken was Ja'Marr Chase, followed by Bijan Robinson, too, which I thought was a little high.
A little high for him. You play fantasy hockey, Tyler?
No.
Stanley Cup champion Tyler Kennedy.
No fantasy here.
In studio till 11. What is going on with the Penguins right now? It seems like nothing, although there's a big story ownership-wise.
Yeah.
With this family from Chicago via Florida, the Hoffman family, it sure seems like it's headed in a direction where that's going to happen. Do you think so?
That's a hard one to get any kind of rumors about, anyone talking about it. But you read through Twitter and all that stuff, you know, that Hoffman group is looking to buy a professional hockey team. And Fenway, I don't know if they're happy with how the Penguins are going or what's the story, but I no matter what, whoever, if they are selling it or if it's still going to be Fenway, they got to get Mary Lemieux involved somehow. Mary Lemieux knows how to get the people in Pittsburgh to rally around that team. Him and his team are so good at just getting people to buy into hockey. It helps youth hockey. It helps everything.
Yeah.
So they need to have, Mario needs to be a part of the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's just.
Well, Pittsburgh Sports Now, or Pittsburgh Hockey Now, I should say, Dan Kangurski headline, feels real. Penguins sale seems imminent. And this was from just a couple days ago. And Dan writes that NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly told Sportsnet during the European media tour Friday that nothing is yet on paper, yet momentum of multiple reports has led people around the Penguins organization who spoke to Pittsburgh Hockey Now to expect the sale to the Chicago-based Hoffman family shortly. One source used the phrase, it feels real. But I think you're right. I don't know how much things change. You know, I don't, a lot depends on who the Hoffmans put in charge of hockey operations. Yes. If indeed this happens. Now, maybe Ron Burkle comes in at the last minute here and swoops them away. But yeah. It seems like the money's gotten so big that it's probably more than Lemieux Burkle want to spend. I'm guessing there.
Yeah,
I'm guessing.
It's a billion, right? Over a billion?
It's nearly 2 billion.
Right?
Nearly 2 billion.
You ever see the difference between 1 million and a billion? It's like you don't realize how much of a difference that is, right? To spend 2 billion, or what is it, 1.7 billion?
Yeah, at least.
That's
might take more. They've doubled they're going to double their initial investment. Aren't they limits? Is that right?
Yeah, they are. They only spent, what, 900 million on it? That's Bob's annual salary.
I know. That's Bob's daily salary. What would you do now, Tyler? What would you do if you were a billionaire? If you got $1 billion tomorrow, what would be your first move? Are you a billionaire?
I wish. maybe I don't wish. I'm pretty happy with where I'm at. But if I was a billionaire, I wouldn't tell anyone.
Yeah.
And I would just do whatever I wanted, I would do.
What would you do, Limits? Let me take a guess. You'd buy the Pirates.
Oh, that would be an option.
I would consider it.
Yeah.
I would probably look at getting one of those remote islands that I could hang out on for like a nice long weekend.
And start a wiffle ball company?
Probably on the island, yes.
Would you stay in Pittsburgh?
I'd probably share time between Pittsburgh and somewhere else.
Where would you live?
Spend most of my time here.
If you didn't have ties in Pittsburgh, where would you live? Anywhere on the planet?
California.
Yeah.
Newport Beach, like those kind of places. I love the ocean. I love riding.
So
like
do
my
I.
dream is to ride my electric bike up and down the ocean. I want to drive my bike to dinner, breakfast, everything.
We had a kid on our street last night riding an electric bike like a maniac at like 10 o'clock. We ran outside like, what are you doing?
Yeah, they fly, right?
Yes.
And then what I think I would do, I know some other guys that have a lot of money. I would fly in for the Penguin games. I'd fly in for the Steeler games and fly out the next day.
My only concern with California is the fires and earthquakes and all that. It feels, I don't know.
Something. You're a billionaire.
I know. Well, meaning you could get out in a minute.
Well, I think you're getting a helicopter out or.
Probably. Yeah, I'm a billionaire. Okay. Yeah, I'd go there.
I'd buy the steel. I'd buy the Penguins. Well,
you wouldn't have enough. A billion wouldn't do
it. Yeah, and I don't know if I'd want that headache. Right? Is you think that's what Mario's thinking?
I was shocked that Mario's name was back in the ring here, that he put his hat back in the ring.
Yeah. What about Sid? Would maybe Sid throw his hat in the ring?
How about be that? Be a part limits. Of it?
Huh? Imagine
that'd be a good. That'd be a great, great move by the Penguins.
How about this? Sid, Mario, Yager, the trio. Yager owns a team, what, in the Czech,
what
right?
What a line. Yeah.
And they all come together with Burkle, with Morehouse, and with someone else that they can find, and they buy the Penguins.
Gino. Yeah. Get Gino involved.
Gino. Gino's got to make the calls. Hey, you're making $1 million. No questions asked. Okay, Gino, that's what I'm playing for. You know, because again, imagine Sid going, no, no, you're not worth three. You're worth one. I played against you. I know. I'm in the room with you every day. This is what you're worth, bud.
How much has he saved the Penguins over the years, Sid? It's unbelievable. But by taking the numbers he has on his contract. Oh. Tens of millions of dollars.
That's what's wrong with Edmonton, right? The two big guys, what if they're going to be at like 28 million, 27 million, and just two guys? That's a leader. That's a guy that wants to have a huge trophy room, right? And he does. And like he made a bet that, and he knew that if he took less, he'd win more. And I don't know. You don't find guys like that. That's unheard of. Would you? Would you take less?
No.
No,
I never.
Neither.
I never blame guys for taking the most. It's
yeah. It's a business.
Something.
Sure.
Him and Tom Brady are the two examples that come to mind. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Sunny today with a high of Joe Green, 75. Great weather for me to golf. I already did. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. All right, Tyler. I guess really there is no news on the Penguins front. Is it hard to come home from the cottage or come back from the cottage after a nice summer and dive back in? I'm sure guys are skating around here already, right?
Yeah.
When did you come back usually?
The first week of September.
Mm.
Usually got the holiday over with, enjoyed your last kind of hurrah. And then you're like, all right, I had to get back to work. I think the biggest thing you miss in the summer, and I always miss this, but the routine of playing. Just getting in that hockey routine, that work routine where you're getting up here, you're going here, you everything is so planned out. And then once a year's over, like you gotta make your own schedule of like when you're training, when you're skating. And that like is always like that worrisome, like, am I doing enough? Am I doing too much? What am I doing? Or once you start in training camp, everything's already planned out for you.
Yeah. Would you pick a thing to work on specifically in the off season?
I needed to work on everything, Joe. But no, I always worked on my skating. I always worked on my shot. Hard to believe. But yeah, I always worked on that kind of stuff. It was always like little stuff. Little stuff, but I worked my butt off. I enjoyed training. I loved to train.
Yeah. Well, you had a hell of a career. Tyler Kennedy, let's get out on the golf course next week. It's supposed to be beautiful.
Where do you want to go?
Old Stonewall or thereabouts.
Wow.
Ligonier?
Ligonier would be nice. Laurel? Old
can you get park? Us on at Laurel?
We can make some calls.
Mm.
Some high places.
And then next week, maybe we can have a guest on the show. You think that could happen?
Yeah. Who do you want? Maybe I'll text Talbo.
See if Talbo. There we go. Great.
See if Talbo. He's got this new protein powder and drink.
There you go. He can talk about that too.
I always love seeing where guys go after their career. You know what I mean? Like where are they? Especially when they're not.
Where is he?
He's in Montreal. But like, what do you do after your career? You know, a lot of guys do TV. A lot of guys do. Little bit of everything, right? But after your career, like if you're not in hockey, you're like, oh, what do I do?
Where's Orpik?
He is player development for the Washington Capitals.
Oh, wow.
He'd be a great guy to have on too.
I love that guy. Where is Pascal Dupuis?
He is coaching in the Quebec League. His son's actually on his team. His son's a really good player, I guess.
Where's Mark Eaton?
He is assistant GM for Chicago.
Holy bird milk. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure. Or Long Island, one of the two.
Where is Miroslav Satan?
I didn't even know where Satan was when we played with us. So I don't
know. He came in, though, in the playoffs. Where's Gary Roberts?
He runs
Ottawa?
No, he's in Toronto. He runs a huge hockey training facility in Toronto. All the pro guys go there to train with him.
What an unbelievable legend he is. Where's Matt Cook? Minnesota?
Matt Cook. He was coaching. He's coaching. He's trying to coach.
You stay in touch with him?
No, but he'd be another good guy. I'm going to text him, too, because he'd be...
That was a hell of a line you guys had.
Yeah, I'd love to drill him on some questions.
Where's Craig Adams? Back in the Ivy League.
He's a financial advisor out of New York.
Wow.
Yeah, that's cool, right?
Yeah, like, that is cool.
Especially like, you know, I think when you look at your team, you're like, oh, what's this guy going to do after? And I think Craig, he was always like by the book. He always was like reading. Like, you know the guys, you walk through the back of the plane. Some guys, we play video games. Some guys, we watch movies.
Right.
I was a movie guy. I love watching movies. Addy would have a book and it was so thick. I'd be like, how is that enjoyable? You know,
it does not surprise me to hear that he's doing that. Where's Luca Caputi?
He's a coach in the OHL.
What? Where's John Curry?
Somewhere in Minnesota on a lake.
Hal Gill?
Color. TV color for Nashville Predators.
Ben Lovejoy.
That's a good question. I think he... I'm not sure.
I liked him.
He was very entertaining.
He was an entertaining guy and a good skater.
Unbelievable. Like, he was, everyone hated practicing against him because he'd go so hard in practice, but it was because he hasn't played in, you know, 2 months. But he was a good player.
Like, yeah, he was.
We just were so stacked that we didn't have room for him in Pittsburgh.
But then he came back and helped them win a cup under Sully.
Yep.
Was an important player.
Yeah, he was good. He was good.
How about Bob Scuderi?
He is with Long Island. He's a player personnel for Long Island.
Pete Sikora.
New Jersey Devils. I don't think he's doing anything. He is, his kid's a young hockey player, so I think he follows him around. He coaches his team. I was actually in Boca, and I'm sitting around, like, Boca Resort. It's unbelievable. They have a huge, like, lazy river. And I see Peter Havlat and Sikora.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was so cool. You know, like, I haven't seen those guys in forever.
Did you relive his legendary goal?
Yeah. Well, they live there. I guess they live in New Jersey, but they have a place down in Boca.
Yeah.
So they go there in the summers and stuff. But I saw them with their shirt off. Both those guys are still shredded.
How about Janne Pessinen?
I never play with him.
You're on the same roster with him here. He never made the team, I guess.
Yeah, like, I didn't really.
How about Cooney? Where's Cooney these days?
Chris Chicago. Kunitz. He's part of the Chicago staff, I think.
All right, that covers everybody except Matthew Guerin. Remember him?
Yeah. Where's Dan Bylsma?
Where is Dan Bylsma?
I think he's sitting at home.
Tune in to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, a Crime House original podcast to uncover the world's darkest secrets. Find Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes wherever you get your podcasts.